Welcome to the Success NPs podcast. We're your hosts, Sandra
and Jackie,
and we want to illuminate the NP world for you.
Join us as we empower you on your NP journey and help you to become the most successful nurse practitioner you can be through conversations around career and clinical practice. Success looks different for all of us. Let us help you get to your definition of success.
Welcome to the Success NP podcast, having to learn how to say these new things. Yeah, I'm so excited to have on our guest, Sunny. And is it, I'm gonna attempt to pronounce his last name. Is it Kangura?
That was beautifully done. Beautiful. Yeah.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Yeah, Kangura is like the more Anglo, you know, twist to it. But yeah, you said it exactly as if you were South Asian.
Oh, girl. Perfect. Made my day. Well, you graduated with your BSN in 2005, and you worked in various areas, orthopedics, trauma, palliative care, completed your master's in 2012. We actually have that in common, 2012, as a nurse practitioner. And since graduating as an NP, you've worked in primary care, mental health, and you've worked as the director of health for a large nonprofit organization. And then over the last several years, you've been working in neurosurgery as an NP.
That's right.
Yeah. And then since graduation, the part that we love here at the Success NP podcast, you've been developing numerous NP resources and courses to help Canadian NPs prepare for the OS exam. Yeah. And you just have a passion for teaching, mentoring NPs, helping them to get to the spot in their career that they want to be. And I'm just so excited to have you on the podcast. We love Canadians up in here. We're just so happy to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, welcome. I'm excited too, because this is the first time I'm co-hosting with Sandra with the new Success and Peace podcast. And I love to pick the brain of other nurse practitioner educators, because I never saw myself as an educator when I was younger. And now I love it. So I love to pick that brain. Yeah. So yeah, I think you want to dive in and we can kind of tell us a little bit about your career and kind of how you ended up where you are now.
Absolutely. So yeah, as Sandra mentioned, I initially worked in primary care as a nurse practitioner and, you know, saw patients across the lifespan. Did some work in psychiatry and then worked as a director of health for a large nonprofit. So that involved a lot of marginalized patient care, overseeing safe injection sites. And then I moved on to neurosurgery, where I've been for the past 5 years, and then had also done a little bit of primary virtual care during that time. And yeah, really enjoying my role in neurosurgery. And then simultaneously, when I graduated, So in BC specifically, our province, we actually have to write an OSCE exam, which is an objective structured clinical exam. And our province alone in Canada is the only province that requires it to become a fully licensed nurse practitioner. So other provinces do OSCEs, but it's more for just part of their educational training journey. Whereas here in BC, we're required it for licensing. And so during my own journey, when I was trying to study and prepare, you know, I was so full of sort of, there was a lot of fear and anxiety around trying to be successful on this exam, because what an OSCE is a simulation exam where you basically work through 16 different patient stations, and it's, you know, 5 minutes to complete a history, 10 minutes to perform a physical exam and develop a plan. And you have no idea what you're walking into. So you have 2 minutes to read what's outside the door, and it might say, you know, 33-year-old male with right abdominal pain, right lower quadrant abdominal pain, please complete a focus physical. And then you enter the room, you have 5 minutes, and you have to do, you know, a general survey, inspection, outpatient, and you have to verbalize throughout the whole exam. And so I found that there was no resources, there was a scarcity in resources for me to even prepare. And so during my studying journey, I started to sort of create these systems and techniques as I was studying. And then I remember one night laying there thinking, oh, I wish there was someone who could teach me how to do this. And then I had started to create these systems, and I thought, oh, maybe I could help some students. And then, you know, after my exam, I was successful, and I asked a couple of students if they want to come and I can try to help them, you know, and it started with a group of sort of 4 or 5 students. And then I was like nervous. I didn't know if I would be able to give them the education and guidance that they needed. But it turned into, can we come back tomorrow? Can we come back tomorrow? Can we do another day with you? And that moment for me was such a turning point, because I it just ignited a fire within me that, oh, this is my purpose. This could be, you know, my purpose in addition to being a nurse practitioner. And I found like the power of impact right there, the power of impact with future students. And so that had a huge factor in motivating me to continue to build this. And this is sort of how my first course came to be, the nurse practitioner OSCE prep course. And so I started to teach in-person courses, and I was able to start, you know, booking larger venues, and the students were just so appreciative, and seeing their anxiety go from up here to, you know, way down here, and their confidence skyrocket. And they would say things to me like, I really thought I couldn't do this, but you really helped my confidence. And I think that mentorship piece and helping students believe in themselves has been like so fulfilling, and like just continues to drive me to keep building more and more resources. And so from there, I've done like physical exam courses, student master courses, and I teach in person and then do e-courses as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have time for anything else? You do so much. That exam sounds very intimidating. That's crazy. Yeah.
It is very intimidating. And I think though, as awful as the studying experience is, I would have to say for myself and a lot of other students, you know, when you graduate, the consolidation isn't always there of our knowledge as an NP, and on graduation and having to suddenly study, you know, 200 primary care conditions, knowing that any one of them could be on the exam, your knowledge just really skyrockets and you become so much more confident in knowing how to manage a pilot or an acute appendicitis. And I have found it huge for so many NPs going into practice that it just helps build that confidence. But in terms of time, Jackie, I find like it's just really prioritizing, you know, what is most important to me. Like I have three beautiful daughters. My husband is amazing. And, you know, I think it's just focusing on what brings me joy. And I think that comes with time and age, that it's okay to say no to certain things so that you can say yes to things that are fulfilling for yourself and your family and your career.
That's really, really good. One of the things I was thinking while you were talking was, so you're working full time as an NP or are you part time?
I work 30 hours. So instead of 40 hours after my third baby, I went down to 30 hours. So I do 3 10-hour shifts on neurosurgery, basically.
Oh, nice. And Your job in neurosurgery, just for those that are like, okay, so she's got this other side piece. Her neurosurgery job includes, I mean, are you doing first assist, like helping in the OR, or are you doing like clinic work? You're just seeing patients like managing in that space. Kind of what are you doing in that realm?
Yeah, so we don't do work in the OR. Our main focus is on patients who are post-operative or pre-op and providing that sort of acute care while in hospital. So often assessing, you know, post-op patients from either tumors or subarachnoid hemorrhages, subdural hematomas, traumatic brain injuries, seizure patients. So there's quite a realm of patients under the neurosurgery portfolio. There's a lot of vascular interventional procedures that are done as well. And so often I'll help with day-to-day assessments of patients, discharge planning, complex family dynamics, also a lot of palliative care, conversations with families, and looking at goals of care, that type of stuff.
Gotcha. You kind of do, it sounds like you're more in the inpatient world.
Yeah.
With working as in neurosurgery, which that is a tough job. Neurosurgery is really complicated.
For sure. Yeah. It is very acute. And because it's quite a larger hospital in our province, usually the sickest come to us, to our center. So, you know, there's a lot of complexity and acuity, but I think that's what I love is just that the learning never ends. And I work with like a very supportive group of like staff neurosurgeons and residents, and the nurses are just phenomenal and our leadership team. So it's very rewarding.
Right. Yeah. One of the things I was thinking too was whenever you're saying that the Canadian NP role is kind of growing, booming, it's starting to kind of become a little more robust as far as people being interested in that. What is something that you've noticed for the Canadian nurse or even an American nurse that you would want them to know prior to going into this role, especially given where you're from, like your locality, what you'd want them to kind of be aware of?
Yeah, I think it's before, you know, entering into an NP role within Canada, whether you're from the US or you know, moving from a different province, I think it's starting off with truly asking yourself, what type of work brings you joy and what type of work is fulfilling? Like what patient population, what type of environment does that look like? And then starting to look for that. And as an NP in Canada, we have now the ability to say, this is what I'm looking for. You know, when the role first started, I felt like that was limited because NPs were just so excited to even be offered a position or be able to work because there was resistance to the NP role. But now it's been so much more accepted. And I think that would be the key thing is that it's okay for you to look for what you want and not necessarily always try to fit the mold of what the employer is looking for, especially if it's not actually what you truly want to do.
Question. So is it a general nurse practitioner track or are they divided between like here, acute care, family, adult, pediatrics? Do they have that kind of design in Canada?
They do. They have a family nurse practitioner stream mm-hmm. as well as an acute care adult stream. And then there is a pediatric stream as well. And then there's, of course, always just like in the U.S., the ability to advance or further your education, specialty courses as well.
So that OSCE exam that you help facilitate training for, that's for every single specialty as well. So each one has their own OSCE that they have to complete prior to starting practice.
That's right. Specifically in BC to get fully licensed. Yes.
Okay. So you take your board certification and then you do this OSCE, which a lot of docs do as well, right? Like they take their boards and then they go and they have to do what they call like oral boards.
Yeah.
Whenever you hear about that, like, I'm just like, heck, well, we don't have to do that. But like, now, kind of like what you're saying, that preparation gives you a level of self-efficacy and self-confidence that you're like, no, I know what I'm doing. I spent the time to really prepare. And it lets other docs and providers know, too, they know what they're doing. You don't have to feel so like, you know, maybe intimidated or feeling like they're doing scope reach and they're coming in to take your jobs. Like, no, they're very competent in what they're doing and their role is very defined. So I think it's kind of a great idea. I mean, I'm not saying I want to do it. I'm just I see the rally.
But it is interesting because we are the only province doing it. They're actually going to change it so that NPs from other provinces who are trying to come to BC, like it can be quite an undertaking preparing for this exam. So I believe in 2026, they're actually thinking of getting rid of the OSCE exam for BC and creating a national exam. So it will definitely help with labor, motility, and, you know, the ability to move amongst other provinces. I think similar to the different states within the U.S., if you're wanting to practice. So that will be coming definitely. But I do think there is a lot of value to this very high pressured, challenging exam just from a nurse practitioner preparation standpoint for someone going into practice.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. So one of the things that we have and a phenomenon we have here in the United States is burnout, right? Nurse burnout, super big red flag. Everybody's just burnout, crispy. And then we've got, you know, and RNs flocking to the NP role just to get deeper in debt and also now be burned out from being an NP. And so one of the things I was thinking about asking you is like, are you noticing a similar transition of like burned out nurses running to become a nurse practitioner only to find that like they may or may not be accepted by, you know, this kind of this new role? What are you noticing trends in Canada that might be a little bit different here in the United States?
Yeah, I feel like I'm finding seeing a bit of both where I'm seeing many RNs who are working in heavy acute care settings, recognizing that I can still work as an RN because I don't want to, you know, pursue higher education, but work in a environment that provides me, I think, a more balanced work life, you know, gives that work-life balance. It doesn't have to be such a complex environment. It doesn't have to be backbreaking work. I don't have to work in an environment where there's a lot of horizontal oppression amongst nursing. So I feel like there's definitely RNs doing a bit more due diligence and like working to, I've had a lot of RNs come talk to me about, hey, like, what are the pros and cons of being an NP? And like, I have really honest, hard conversations with them. Like, why do you want to do it? And, you know, you got to ask those hard questions. And then I think the RNs who are going into the NP programs, they are for the most part doing that research and and doing that shadowing and connecting with as many NPs as they can.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I think it's a key piece to, you know, putting yourself in as many experiences to give you a real lived experience of what a nurse practitioner does is so critical. And, you know, some RNs say, well, I think nurse practitioners make a lot of money. Well, it doesn't actually translate that much because, for example, there are NPs, you know, who work full time, but it's not 40 hours. It turns into 50 or 60 hours where they're being called about INRs and PTTs or, you know, any other acute lab, or they're on call, or they're having to check labs or finish charting and referral letters, insurance forms, you know, in the evenings and not getting to put their kids to bed. So I think that's truly what you have to ask yourself. And yeah. I think I'm such a believer in it's okay to want work-life balance. It's okay to ask yourself as an NP, what work brings me joy, which will therefore allow me to be a better practitioner? And what patient populations do I enjoy? But also incorporating, can I leave most days by 4 o'clock when my shift is done? You know, can I make it to pick up my kids from daycare? Those are realistic questions to ask yourself and to consider when taking on an NP job.
Yeah. I think it's sometimes the mindset, the grass is always greener, right? So you have to take all of that into, you know, be realistic, just like you said. Like, what do you think is the one or two main things that you wish nurse practitioners or nurses going into the field knew? Not so much education, just like, you know, in practical sense.
Yeah, I think it would be is recognizing the level of responsibility is much greater and the level of decision making is greater and can, of course, have a direct impact on a patient. I think that's important to recognize how some positions can be quite autonomous. And, you know, you have to recognize your personality. Are you someone who loves working in collaboration with the team versus are you someone who really does enjoy taking on a certain level of responsibility and autonomy where you are the primary decision maker? I think it's just recognizing where your personality fits into that. And then again, I think recognizing there are definitely nurse practitioner positions out there that won't give you the work-life balance. And so what does your family look like before going into an NP role? Do you have 2 children or 3 kids? Are you single? Are you, you know, I think depending on the phase of life, we can take on different things. You know, before I had kids, I could do a lot more from a work perspective, but now priorities shift when our families grow. And I think those are all important things to consider if people are thinking of going into completing a nurse practitioner program or pursuing that career, for sure.
Attention all nurse practitioners and NP students, are you tired of feeling the disconnect between clinical rotations and didactic teaching? Say hello to Success NP's Clinical Booklet Guides.
As NPs ourselves, we know how valuable it is to have a resource that helps bridge the gap between clinical and class. So we created the digital resource to do just that. Our clinical booklets cover 5 major NP tracks: psych, adult, peds, family, and women's health. Success NPs wants to create tools and provide support NPs need to thrive in their careers.
So why wait? Check out our Success NP Etsy shop, linked in the show notes, for our digital guides and other digital clinical resources. Now, let's get back to the conversation.
Those are all very valid points, you know, that I don't feel like people talk about a lot before you jump into an advanced program.
And you're also a different person when you start the NP program than when you finish, right? Like, I was a different person when I became an NP versus where I am now. I mean, I was single, young, single, and free, right? Can't hold me down. And now, I got 2 babies and I'm flapping in the breeze. And then, you know, you get things that pull you back down and you're like, whoa, my purpose is different. And so you need to normalize the transition of these roles. And I love that to some degree, we're all in like a part-time position and part-time role to facilitate the ability to be a more present mom. But then we also allows space for you to grow things for yourself. And one of the things that I was thinking that you could do, Sunny, was kind of share with our NPs, what is it that you found really helps them learn that physical exam and some tips and some tricks that you have from your teaching that you could go, hey, guys, like, you know, because we still have to do physical exams. I had that ASCII, but we had that similar training in school where we got to like come in. I remember like the day, like you have to, they're going to give you something and you need to know like the right thing to do, and you have to describe it out loud what you're doing. And it's not, you know, some, you know, credentialed process, but it is something that you have to do when you get out of school. So what are some things that through your teaching methods that you've developed that you've been like, these are tried and true, do these to learn a good physical exam? Because that's kind of your niche, right? You've niched down in that physical exam space. You've been able to branch out and do other things. That really is kind of your bread and butter teaching point. I'd love to hear kind of what you've been able to develop and why you think your method for teaching is best.
Yeah, no, great question, Sandra. I think the key thing for me was, how do I teach nurse practitioner students to sort of optimize those foundational clinical skills? So anywhere from, how do you perform a patient history? How do you develop a management plan? How do you provide patient counseling and give patient education? How do you perform physical exams? How do you identify critical incidents? So I basically created these systems and methodologies where I created templates. So for example, I created a template for how do you perform a history taking? Why do we ask about the presenting illness, you know, before medications and allergies? Why do we ask a review of systems before, you know, I want to ask about a social history? So if I sort of can teach the reason why, it, you know, the bigger picture is being, well, it will help me identify my differentials a little better and identify positive, pertinent positive negatives and pertinent positives. I think it's helping nurse practitioners learn the logic behind the systems. And then same with the physical exams, it's being structured and systematic. So I've created templates for various physical exams, for example. So neurological, cranial nerves, cardiac, respiratory, abdominal, shoulder, elbow, hand, knee, spine, ankle, foot. And so they're all systems. And so you're always starting with introducing yourself. Hi, my name is Sunny. I'm a nurse practitioner. I'm going to start with a general survey. So our general survey is just looking at how the patient presents. Though they're sitting upright, I'm not seeing any acute distress, respirations are 18. And it's, so we're sort of making it systematic in your mind. Then we go into inspection. And so, and then we go into palpation. So there is the system that you always sort of utilize for each system. And so I've created templates. And then for the physical exams, I've created step-by-step videos as well, which was quite an undertaking, but a big project I wanted to take on. So it's their videos to give that step-by-step visual learning guide for students who are able need to rewind, listen back, repeat. And so that's that. It's to offer the written templates and the video component, because, you know, NP students or all students learn in different ways. And I think that's really the key is, as a new NP, do I have systems and methods in place to truly know how to perform a history? Or do I know how to develop a management plan? And that can often start with defining the condition that the patient is diagnosed with. Next, you might ask the patient, what is your understanding of being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes? How do you think this is going to impact your life? So trying to get the patient's getting a better understanding of the patient's feelings, fears around the new diagnosis, and then starting off with sort of non-pharmacologic interventions. So really focusing on lifestyle interventions, then moving on to pharmacologic interventions, then discussing red flags. So there's always sort of like a system in place. And I found those systems, especially as a new NP, can really help solidify how to do certain foundational tasks in clinical practice. And then as you know, advance, you rely less on templates because it becomes second nature to you. Yeah.
One of the things I remember in school was linking things with one another. Like as you kind of like, I remember when we were doing the physical exam, I was like, and then once this, I link this word, it'll help me to prompt me into this one space.
Right.
So kind of linking ideas kind of helped me. And I don't know if that helps any NP that's like, what do I do? What I remember thinking, if I can somehow let this thing prompt my brain into this thing, it'll help me transition into thinking that. Did I follow up? Keep that. And then again, repetition, like you said, the more you do it, the more you study the template, you begin to see it in your mind. It becomes more real as you do it. Turn your boyfriend into a patient. You know, you've got a cue board beside us. Act it out. I don't know. You know, that can kind of help you practice. They might feel like getting pigs, but they'll be fine. You know?
Yeah. And Sandra, you hit on such a key point is the power of simulation as nursing students or nurse practitioners, you know, nurse practitioner students is huge, because I might think I can complete a knee exam on someone who might present with like an ACL strain. But until I show my skills in front of, you know, colleagues or an instructor or my, you know, my nurse practitioner classmates, and verbalize step by step what I'm doing, what I'm landmarking, it's only then that you truly understand and know it. So again, if you have that system in place and you put a little bit of that pressure on where you kind of have to perform, you actually learn from it, as stressful as it might be, but you will learn the anatomy so much better. You know, for example, that knee exam, valgus stress test, varus stress test. You think you might know it, but once you're actually holding the extremity the way that you're supposed to, you're landmarking and able to see the way you're supposed to apply pressure to certain aspects of the extremity, do you really learn why you're doing the technique the way that you are? And then on top of it, trying to verbalize it. So it really helps ingrain the skill. And it is, again, like you said, the repetition and the simulation is huge. I feel like that is a big part of my courses, where we do a lot of simulation, where I have students work in partners, and there's, you know, one is assigned to be the nurse practitioner and one is the patient, and patient has a script and the nurse practitioner is given a task such as complete a focus history. So they have to work through a history, and the presenting illness might be right knee pain. And so they have to work through that history taking. And I think by working through it from beginning to end, it really helps the nurse practitioner identify gaps in knowledge, or, you know, oh, I really need to strengthen my review systems, or I really always forget to ask about allergies and I just prescribe something that they're allergic to. And you'll never forget to ask about allergies once you've messed that up. So I think it's just a lot of learning through simulation and practice.
One of the things I was thinking about too was, as you've had this side hustle and your main hustle, what I talk about all the time on my podcast, which is to diversify your income. And so I think it is so incredible that you've been able to do that with your career as a mom and working as an NP and building this other thing, that now you've got a diverse income as an NP, which is like A+, the cream of the crop, absolutely the best thing you can do. Can you work autonomously in BC as a nurse practitioner? Like, if you wanted to hang your shingle and see patients, are you able to do that?
Yeah, they're starting to actually create nurse practitioner-led clinics. And so, you know, that's definitely more of a business model. Nurse practitioners are allowed to also, we just started, our college just allowed nurse practitioners now to proceed with aesthetic medicine. So administering Botox, fillers, et cetera. And so, yeah, there's a lot of nurse practitioners who are starting that entrepreneurial journey of opening their own clinics. And so that's become sort of a booming area within a lot of provinces within Canada, I would say, especially where they're authorized to do that and perform those skills. And I think hearing you talk about, Sandra, diversifying, you know, your art income, I feel like it's not talked about a lot within the Canadian nurse practitioner world. And I am such a proponent of, if you want to open that clinic, but maybe also do some primary care, it is okay. And I think that nurse practitioners should be celebrated when they have a certain gift or skill set and it brings them joy. It should only be celebrated, as long as things are done safely, of course, and ethically and all those pieces. And so I think diversification and only adding to your skill set makes for, you know, a nurse practitioners to be seen as even more valuable.
Great. Love that.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think in the last week, Sandra and I have been approached multiple times with people just kind of wondering how to start a side hustle. And it's really just like, I know Sandra has talked to them too, but what are they passionate about? What do they enjoy doing? You know, and because you don't want a second job, you want something that you're going to enjoy doing on the side. It's going to take time away from your family, you know? So I think a lot of nurse practitioners are looking to find something and just haven't found it quite yet, maybe.
Yeah.
But I love what you're doing.
Yeah. And if it doesn't have to be, you know, a level of undertaking where you might want to start a part-time, you know, open up a clinic, but even if you enjoy fashion or, you know, and you want to start creating nurse practitioner clothing items like sweatshirts, mugs, you know, certain name tags that are trendier than what's out there, go for it, right? That sounds a lot more fun than, you know, and reasonable to do if you're working full time, for example. But I am a huge supporter of celebrating those different gifts that nurse practitioners have. And it's okay if you don't go the traditional route of working 60 hours a week and, you know, you don't have that work-life balance and that fulfillment isn't quite there. So I think putting our joy is as a priority is very okay and should be incorporated into our decision-making as we decide what we want to do with our careers.
Yeah,
I can only speak to what the amount of fulfillment my students have given me and just seeing the looks on their faces when they're like in tears and saying like, I passed, or I had no confidence before I came to this course. And now I feel like that feeling will always like keep me motivated, and spending 40 hours, you know, working on new resources for them. I think I know that is the power of my impact. And that's what sort of continues to drive me to keep doing what I'm doing. And I hope all nurse practitioners can find that, you know, within themselves.
Yeah, it feels like validation when you have that imposter syndrome in the beginning there, like, am I doing this right, you know? And that's great. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And again, like the side hustle not only provides additional income, again, diversifying yourself, but it does give you something that you can directly influence. And when you work on that on your own, it's a different type of work. Like Jackie said, it's still work. You can easily burn yourself out from it. But yeah, again, that building something for yourself, what can I do? What can I actually build? What are my natural giftings? As a nurse practitioner, I think we need to celebrate that more. We need to encourage other NPs. Like, listen, you don't just have to grind at the hospital. You don't have to just take whatever they give you. Don't be happy that you're somebody signed up on your dance card. Like, you've got a lot of things that you're able to do on your own. So if you take that job, maybe you grind for a little bit, be looking for those gaps. Kind of like what you said, like, I noticed nobody was doing this. And so I decided to start it. And the way that you teach is going to connect to certain people. And they're like, well, she's already doing it. So what? Like, you do it differently than she might. So like, you might be able to come up with something that she connects to people that have this style of learning. And so if you're a doodler, doodle certain things, maybe that's how you connect to people. Like, there's so many things that you can do that if you have natural abilities, natural inclinations, things that don't feel like work, again, don't always turn it into work, but just enjoy it as a hobby and see what happens from it. Because again, you never know what you'll stumble upon. And it might be something that you go, I only need to work 20 hours as an NP. I don't need to burn myself out. I need that work-life balance as a mom. And, you know, this helps with that. But this little money here helps me here. And I actually enjoy doing it. And it's a different form of job satisfaction. So I don't know. I think it's really, really great, Sunny, that you're doing it. And I'm just so happy to showcase you as our first guest on the Success NP podcast. That you are so incredible. You're also beautiful. So like, you also need to like take your note, like, and just let you know, like, so beautiful. Everyone was looking at all your stuff on Instagram. I was like, how old is she? She looks so good. And young. Three babies. You look great.
It's very nice of you. Yeah. I think, you know, to add to what you're saying too, Sandra, I think it's being women, and as women, we're natural nurturers. You know, for the most part, we're giving. And then when you combine being a woman within nursing, you are now giving in the workplace, you know, you're a mother, you're giving in the home. And I think it's that giving. So what about what's going on in here? You know, what about ourselves? And, you know, as women, when you become mothers, you sometimes can lose a little bit of self-identity, you know, because we're just so focused on the role of mother. And sometimes same with the career, we just become so identified as like a nurse practitioner that we forget who we are as a human being. And so I think it just further speaks to the importance of really like, what do I want for myself? What brings me joy? And I think it's so important to look at that.
Well, for the last part of the podcast, it's the rapid fire question. Yes. Sunny, are you ready? Because we're going to hit you with some stuff.
You're my best.
What is your favorite season in Canada?
Summer.
Good old Fort Prime. Is it beautiful up in? I've been to Canada once.
Did you go? It was beautiful. People are super nice. Yes.
I did Vancouver.
Yeah. So that's where I am, Vancouver. So summertime in Vancouver. Yeah. It's beautiful.
You could have met her.
I've not seen you there.
You that's might have.
Like, you know, there's like the mountains. There's bodies of water you can explore. There's like so much to do and in Vancouver. So I find summertime, like I'm still exploring the city. And everyone is happy when it's sunny out.
Awesome.
Everyone was so friendly when I went to Canada. I told my I went with my brother. And we were just sitting by the wall and this guy was like, just chatting with us. And I'm like, we don't do this in America. Like, we don't just, like, talk to like random people. Like around us, like, that's like, we're like, what's wrong with you? But like, I realized like, that was just him being friendly and nice. And I'm like, God, I'm screwed up.
It's very common. Like if you're walking with your children or you see someone walking with the dog, it's always good morning or, oh, how old is your little one? Or how old is your dog? What's your dog's name? It's pretty common here. So no one will think you're weird if you do that here.
Good. And then, okay, so being a mom, what chore do you hate the most? That you're just like, this one, I would pay for it every time. Grocery shopping or laundry. I don't know. What's your thing?
After cooking, like all the cleaning of the dishes, of the pots, that part. And then drying the dishes and putting them away. And then wiping counters for the 3,000th time in that day. Yeah. There's more, but those are the top.
Oh, sure. Just make the dinner while you're there cleaning up. Just make it. All right. What was the last thing you watched on TV?
Ozarks. Have you the series Ozarks? I like shows like Breaking Bad.
Nice.
Ozark. Yeah. Very dark shows, but they bring me joy.
Humor coming out, right?
Yeah. Wentworth is a great series based out of Australia. It's a series on women in a prison in Australia, but very dark. But yeah, love those type of shows.
So I feel like, is the show Heartland recorded in Canada?
I want to say yes. That sounds familiar. I haven't seen it though.
It's one of my faves. It's such a great wholesome show. I don't have to worry when it's on my kids. Such a great show. And again, like they're just wholesome. It's just how I see Canadians. Just this good, wholesome horseback riding people. They're just such a great show.
Love it.
Like, I don't even have a horse.
Good time at all, right?
Sunny, it was so much fun chatting with you today.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun and connecting with you both.
And you'll have to go ahead, Jackie. You go ahead and like take us out. I'll just let you close out the podcast.
No, I'm just saying this is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Kind of pick your brain, and you inspire me. You're just doing amazing things. I love it. It's awesome.
Thank you, Jackie.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast today, guys. Don't forget to enjoy the journey of your career. We'll have to come up with a new tagline because that's for my other podcast. And you guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Success NPs. We hope today's discussion has shed some light on the diverse career options or taught you how to improve your clinical practice as a nurse practitioner.
Remember, whether you're considering a specialization, pursuing advanced certifications, or exploring non-traditional roles, there's a wealth of opportunities out there waiting for you.
Absolutely. And don't forget, your journey as a nurse practitioner is unique, and it's okay to take your time finding the path that resonates with you the most.
And before we go, we'd like to extend our gratitude to all of the nurse practitioners out there who are making a difference in healthcare every single day. Your dedication and compassion truly inspires us. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review. It helps the podcast grow. The Success in Peace podcast is on the World Wide Web, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and X. So subscribe to our newsletter for updates on new podcast episodes and other information to help you on your own NP journey. You can always message us at successnppodcast@gmail.com with any NP podcast episodes or topics you'd like us to discuss.
Until next time, take care, stay curious, and keep advancing your careers as a nurse practitioner. And just a friendly reminder, the information on this podcast is for educational purposes only. The information should not be used in substitute for professional care by a medical provider. The information on this podcast does not represent medical or professional advice or services.
Bye for now.